Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the rap game, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Rolling backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Oh, hello. It is Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty the Body.
And we have a very special guest today. Old Boss Man Will's in the house.
Yeah.
Now, can we just say that this special guest was, Will, go stand over there. We need to talk to you.
We never actually ask anybody if they want to do this. No. We just tell them to go stand
I
there.
I had a 3-second notice.
Correct. We don't even have headphones for you. I'm sorry.
No, people normally just get trapped in here, and then they're like, damn it, I've got like 5 meetings I got to go to right now.
One time, Evander actually ran out the door before we could get him.
I was like, let me play the intro first. I should have just hit record.
Well, by the way, you know, since this is not on the radio, we can get a little deeper.
Yeah.
You have to change that intro because I don't know that we're licensed to use that guy anymore.
Oh, okay, so that's not our voice guy. Well, I guess he doesn't work here anymore.
Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's not like-
send me the script. I'll have the new guy cut it.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. We'll get a new fancy
intro. Hey, I don't want to get us sued.
Yeah.
I don't think he would sue us.
Well, you know, it's listen, things on the internet.
That's true.
That's where a lot of the gold is right now.
That
you
is
never
true.
Know.
But you didn't bring me here to talk about that.
I know, but this is why I love the podcast, because we can just go in and out and do anything we need to.
Yeah, leave it to your boss. You're using the wrong sound effect. We're not licensed for that.
I'm like, why do you have a buzzkill over here?
He's like, actually, oh my gosh, see, this is how I know that Will and Holly, you two are like the same. You're like the fun ruiner. You're both like the people with the like rules. You're like, well, actually,
according to,
tell you.
Someone has to be that person. Otherwise, it's anarchy.
Well, and it's kind of my job description, isn't it?
Right?
But it's a podcast, though. I mean, is there really, are there any really rules here?
No.
Yeah, I mean, actually, there are.
There are. Everything has to be licensed.
Yeah. Oh, we don't have that. We cannot.
And when we get sued, the company has to pay for it, not Miguel.
Oh, thank God.
And I mean, like, we can't be using any of the songs that you use
in here. Yeah, let's
change it.
Like,
we're super
That's fine. That's fine. So we were just talking off the air, because, Will, you popped in to say hello real quick, and you and Holly start talking about
the end of days.
End of times.
Holly, what were you just saying off the air?
All right, so it started because we had this crazy, terrible storm that came through Tampa Bay last night, which I apparently slept through. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I didn't even know the end of times was happening last night. but so Will and I were talking about that, and then I said that I'm about to go home today to find out what my mom thought about this, because I slept through it, but maybe she didn't, and she is already on the path that we are living in our last days.
Oh, dear.
And much like your grandmother, she likes to bring it up every now and then, but she's like has a religious bent on it.
Mm-hmm.
So just bear with me
mm-hmm.
while I talk about this.
Okay.
So apparently, and she's Catholic, so if you're Catholic, maybe you've heard of this. My guess is that you haven't, because I had not until she started with this thing. So she thinks that this 3 days of darkness is coming.
Okay.
Where it's like the earth is going to go dark, and it's basically like the end of days, like when Jesus returns.
Mm.
Well, like some other religions might call it the rapture, but it's not the same for my mom. I don't know.
Are people disappearing with this?
Oh, Lord.
Like the rapture?
No, not in the way that they get like sucked up or something.
And God, are they?
Does God like just move the sun to a different solar system for a couple days?
It
or
just,
what?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
So it's just dark.
Oh, man.
No, well, it's not just dark. The way that you're going to know the dark is coming is going to get really cold everywhere, like freezing. And then when that happens, you're like, oh, shit, I better get home.
Because
then the 3 days of darkness is coming.
So now does this coldness just happen like just like literally it's, you know, like 85 degrees here in Tampa Bay and then all of a sudden it's like 25?
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So the cold is coming.
Does
and
it
then,
snow?
I mean, I don't know. Possibly.
Okay.
The precipitation levels.
These are questions that I have.
I know. I'm curious. Girl, you know I'm all for a doomsday plan, so
well,
I'm here
you should
here
look
it
up, because when my mom first brought this up, I was like, oh, God. But I looked it up, and it's like a legit thing that people talk about.
Oh, wow.
In the Bible. I don't know.
So has she put a lot of thought into this, it sounds like?
Oh, well.
Oh,
yes. So when my mom started deciding that we were living in the end times because of all of the things going on in the world today, like weather patterns and wars and governments and whatever it is, she's like, we better be ready. And here's how you do it. So you have to get, because what's going to happen during the 3 days of darkness, you can't leave your house.
Oh.
It's like Bird Box, if you've seen the Netflix movie.
Yeah.
You have to cover the windows up with blankets because during the 3 days of darkness, it's in my head, I can kind of assimilate it to Passover in the Bible, like the original Passover with the Jewish people, and they had to put the lamb's blood over the doors, and then God came through and killed all the firstborn sons, except if you had the lamb's blood, you didn't get killed.
Oh, right.
Didn't they do that
in the Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston?
Correct, they did.
Taking it way back.
Yes, they did.
Scotty's like, I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Well, and the Prince of Egypt cartoon, didn't it, from Disney?
Yes.
Yeah, with Whitney Houston and Mariah, When You Believe.
Okay. Yep.
I love that song. Sorry.
Okay. Why, of course, you brought in Whitney Houston.
Carry on, honey.
So anyway, it's like similar to that, I think, where in this 3 days of darkness, it's going to be like the reckoning. So the way that like God or Jesus knows that you're of the faithful and that you believe in him and all that is that you are in your house with everything shut. You have to have a crucifix prominently displayed outside your home, kind of like the old, like the lamb's blood with the thing. Well, my mom was like, we have to put the crucifix up. I was like, okay, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. So first of all, 3 days of darkness, we have blankets in my spare room piled up for the window purposes.
God.
We also have a lot of water.
In case of rapture, open this box.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we also have, I feel bad. Like, I'm not like trying to make fun of my mom because she like legit believes this. So I'm not trying to like rain on her parade, but I do tend to roll my eyes a little bit about it. But it's fine. So she's got all this water, which to me, I don't mind that much because we live in Florida. There could be a hurricane, you know. Yeah. It's
absolutely.
Fine
as
to
soon
be
as
prepared.
We hit hurricane season, I always start stocking up on water.
So we're already set for that. So we got a bunch of water. We've got non-perishable food items and the blankets in that room.
Mm-hmm.
My mom also made me go to church and get a gallon of water blessed. So we have a gallon of holy water also. Don't touch that.
Oh.
It's in the room. Now, so we have all this stuff. So during this 3 days of darkness, we are to barricade ourselves in our house.
Uh-huh.
And like all your love, you got to like bring in the loved ones or whatever. And then you just have to like pray those 3 days because there's going to be no power. That's why we have the water. That's why we have the food. You're praying during those 3 days because on the outside, demons are like coming all up in the earth and they're like killing everybody.
Wait, so I have a question.
Okay.
Yes.
If demons are coming out of the earth and the rock and the ground.
Well, I don't know if they're coming out of the earth.
But whatever.
I don't know where they're coming
but
from.
Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that a man-made structure would stop a demon.
No, no, no. Well, the demons don't want to come in if you have the crucifix outside.
You didn't get that insurance plan?
Hello? It's not like they just causing random chaos. They just killing all the sinners.
Right, so your Geico home insurance won't protect you.
It's not going to cover demons?
But that crucifix will. Okay, listen.
Y'all are making fun of my poor mom.
No. I'm not.
High progressive demon insurance.
I'm allowed to make fun of my mom. You can't make fun of my mom. It's
listen,
my mom.
Holly, during 2012, December 21st, we literally had water. Like, I was ready for it to happen.
Did. Miguel and I were, like, prepared. We had socks, too.
Exactly. So, I get it. I understand.
Actually, real quick, the interjection to this point. So, remember back in 2012 when everyone thought
December 21st, 2012?
Yeah, yeah. So, I actually lived in New York City at the time.
Oh.
And me and some friends, because it was supposed to happen at like 6 p.m. or something.
Yeah, was like a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So me and some friends were at this Mexican restaurant called the Caliente Cab Company on 6th Avenue, and right under it is a subway. So at exactly 6 p.m. on this day, the ground started shaking.
Oh my God.
And everyone outside on that patio started looking at each other like, is this it? Wait, let me go back. Oh my God, is this it?
Oh yeah.
And then we heard... Ding dong. Yeah. Like, okay, sorry, it's just a subway. But I admit, for a split second, there probably about 2 or 3 seconds when everyone was looking at each other like,
wow.
Oh,
I would have done
it. Anyway.
I bet you wish you had a crucifix nailed upside the house.
I would, yeah. Well, I would have called your mother.
That was where I got like a little bit, I was like exasperated because I'm fine. I got the water. We got the food. I went and got the holy water. We got blankets. I was like, this is fine. We can actually use this for like, you know, a hurricane if we need to.
Right.
Then she comes through with this crucifix and she's like, you got to hammer it up outside the house. I'm like, it's brick. She's like, well, then put it on the door. I'm like, I'm not putting it on the door.
Oh, wow.
I'm not putting it on the door. Like, I'm not putting a hole in our front door. So I put it on the side.
Good for the Lord.
And I hammered it into, like, the in-between the bricks, you know, like the mortar.
Oh, yeah.
I got it in a little, and I kind of, like, bent the nail up, and so we got Jesus outside the door. But she was upset because it wasn't, like, on the front door. But I said, I think it's close enough. So.
You may want to check your weather seal. Just to make sure.
So in that way,
demons can't get through.
And then, like, literally, and so she was like on it for a long time, and like I feel so guilty because I feel like she would be devastated if she knew I was talking about this, but so she brought it up a lot while we were getting ready, and then it had been kind of quieted down. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I keep seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing it more and more, and I'm like, well, where are you seeing it?
Oh man,
Facebook. I'm like, Mom, do you understand how the algorithms work with Facebook? Like, if you click on something, they're going to show you more of that thing because they know you're interested in it.
Right.
She didn't grasp that.
No.
It's fine. So then, this is the final thing. So then yesterday, she comes downstairs and she's like, well, I just got off the phone with Auntie Pearl and she said she's going to get her money ready. Why would you need money? This is what's wrong with Auntie Pearl. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
So now my Auntie Pearl's doing it too, but apparently she's also stocking some cash up. And I'm like, now see, that's too much because what are you going to go pay the demons for something when they come?
Or you might need, okay, so after the 3 days of darkness.
Do demons have the cash app?
You better get Venmo.
I don't know. I was like, maybe you could barter a chicken. That seems a little bit more.
You can scoop out some of the holy water and trade it for a loaf of bread.
I'm hanging on to the holy water.
Now, after the 3 days of darkness, isn't that when Jesus comes back and then he takes everyone to heaven?
Yes, but I don't know if it's like heaven or if it's like a new, you know.
A better earth.
It's sort of like Noah's Ark where they wash the earth, but it's demons taking it up this time.
Doesn't Dante's Inferno and the Seven Circles kind of fit in this?
It does. It's similar, but I don't. And this is where I get confused because like
purgatory,
all the stuff I read. Well, my mom is like all prepared for purgatory. But anyway, so she's like, so after the 3 days of darkness, then that's like Jesus comes to all the people that have been in the house praying this whole time and like, you know, you're saved. And I don't know for sure if we get taken up to heaven or if we just new earth, like Scott said.
Wow.
This is heavy.
Okay, so Scott, you grew up Jewish.
Yeah.
Is there anything like this that you learned about in the Jewish faith growing up? Do you remember?
I am not. I think this is what I learned growing up. And if there's anybody else that's Jewish and I'm completely wrong.
Oh, you're going to anger the Jewish.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry. I was right. I was bar mitzvah. I did the whole thing.
Oh, my. Maybe we should delete this podcast.
No, this is good. Because maybe I could learn a little bit. But in my eyes, I think the main difference I grew up with was like Judaism and Christianity. The difference was that wasn't going to happen. Like, Jesus wasn't going to come back and resurrect us. Like,
well, because you don't believe in Jesus.
Exactly. So, like, to me, I'm like, I don't think that's happening.
The Jews are still waiting on Jesus the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So we're like, we're still chilling. So I guess if it happens, it'll be the first time for us, the second time for y'all. Yeah, whatever. I mean, we'd have a big party after. But I mean, I don't remember big conversations about this. But it was more so like, let's be good people.
That's the thing. I never learned about this until like this past year.
Oh, yeah.
So like I grew up with going to, you know, the PSR.
I feel like this is like
religion.
That heavy, like you got to dig deep and you really got to get into it to get to this far in.
Wondering if my mom is like, you know, as she gets older, these are the types of things that she's like grasping onto as maybe.
Well, I mean, I feel like as like parents, grandparents get older, that's what happens. I mean, like I know my grandmother, I mean, from what my mom talks about, from my grandmother was younger. I mean, she was like in the church, but it wasn't so like we live in our last days.
But as she got older.
Right. As she got older. So like I remember because I grew up Seventh-day Adventist where you go to church on Saturday from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. You don't do anything. All electronics are off. You don't watch TV. You don't spend any money. You just rest and you go to church. And I remember when I got to high school in like my freshman year when I was like, I want to do track. And I was like, do you think it'd be okay if like I ran track? Some of the track meets are on Saturday. And my grandma was like, well, do you really want to be going across the finish line and Jesus come back? And I was like, well, I guess not.
That's true.
That's right. So, I guess not.
I didn't do track.
Jesus will see where your priorities are.
Exactly. If I was going across the finish line and he'd be coming That's down tough. And be like, ooh. What were you doing? Why weren't you at home resting?
I'm getting fit, Lord.
So here we are. And I think I say all this to say, I'm ready if there's a bad storm. But I'm also ready for the 3 days of darkness.
I'm coming over to your place.
Please
I'm about to say.
I got the crucifix. I have everything ready, but you're going to have to pray with us.
Can you do a makeshift crucifix? Like when you when it starts to get cold? Or do you, did you have to have it there like before it got cold?
I think you can. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you wanted to get in on it at the last second, you're welcome.
Isn't Jesus forgiving?
I don't know because when a storm is coming in, like a hurricane's coming in, if we're already in that action zone, you cannot get insurance.
But I don't think that the Lord works like insurance.
I don't think he's an insurance kind of, you know, Lord.
He knows what's in your heart.
That's right.
That's your insurance.
That's right.
So, okay.
This is intense.
Listen, I like, we're like, listen.
Yes.
We are a radio podcast, so like we make fun and we joke, but I'm dead ass serious because I'm trying to go to heaven, okay? So like if I need to get Abe to like put together a fixture of a cross because we couldn't put it outside of the house now because Jerry would be called by our neighbor from the HOA.
Now, see, so, that's a problem.
Like, what do you do? I live in a townhouse. Like, I can't put a crucifix outside.
You could. You could.
Girl, they barely allow my Safe Touch security thing to be outside my door.
Actually, you have a case there because they can't come down on you if you if that is what you believe in. You have the right to believe in what religion you choose to believe in.
Oh, this is tough. What do you, what would I do then in this case? I don't. Do I get washed away?
I don't know, Scott.
See, this is where religion sometimes. Which this is where I think we'll just end this part of the conversation because this is where sometimes religion gets a little because every religion believes something different. Like I don't remember what we grew up learning in the Seventh-day Adventist religion, but it was just like Jesus comes back. And I remember asking like in Sabbath school back in the day, like, so like if granddaddy is dead and he he's been in purgatory. He being in a See, there was no purgatory when where I learned.
What happens when you die?
That was my well, I do remember them saying that when you die, you're like sleeping. Like you're resting, and then when Jesus comes back, if you're supposed to go to heaven, you go up. If you aren't going to heaven, then you're just you're gone? You're done. Like that's it. Unless you're going to hell.
Well, is it either or?
It's either or. There's no in the middle.
But that's what I'm saying. So either go to hell or heaven?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're done, you just go to hell.
I think, I don't remember. I don't even want to speak out of turn.
You know what? That's the problem.
I don't know either. I don't remember.
For like me, like I always grew up knowing like in my Jewish religion, like there was not a hell. Like there's not a hell in Judaism. And I could be wrong, but that's what I remember learning.
Is that accurate?
I'm pretty sure because I don't even remember like bringing up any time in the good old synagogue. Bringing up a hell.
Well, what's the opposite of going up to the Lord?
I don't know. I thought we just all went up to the Lord.
I mean, not the...
Wow. Ollie, don't.
I'm
know.
Curious. I'm not... I'm just curious.
Well, then you got something to do this weekend.
We're doing like, a research.
I might have said, wait, which part of your family is your mom or dad's side?
My dad's side. And my mom's side is Christian. So, hey, you know what? This is why I don't even like to get deep into religious stuff. Because I'm so split. Like, life's been always hard, kind of like... All right, what road do I go down? I have one house, I speak about this. The other house, I speak about this.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
It is tough. It's a conflict. And that's why, like, I've even talked about this. Like, if I were to have kids, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do I raise them Jewish? Do I raise them Christian? What do I do? I don't know.
Well, because then your girlfriend, Mary, she is Asian and Middle Eastern.
What is her religion?
Yeah. She's Christian.
Okay.
Interesting.
So I think that you probably have to go Christian because it's like, 1/4 to 3/4
This is where I'll jump in because...
Right?
I mean, again, like, this is where it gets complicated because I like to look at it like, you know what? Whatever we got to do to make sure my kids are good and all and well, but I don't want to be, like, I don't want to be that strict family where it's like every, like, 2 days we got to be at the church or sit. Like, that's just not how I am.
That was my family. We didn't, like... By Baptist, I'm Catholic, but...
By Baptism.
What's that?
By baptism.
You said Baptist. You're Southern Baptist.
I don't really have a lot of experience in this because my family, even though my extended family is really hardcore Italian, my parents were not very religious. The only time my mom would get religious is, oh, it's Easter or Christmas. We have to go and do thy best.
But the rest of the year,
you know, we don't hear about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, as you were speaking of your situation, like how do you handle your kids? I mean, if I get myself in that situation, I just believe in something bigger than myself, and I believe in something that matters.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith in that.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know that I'm necessarily going to put it in this box or that box or this. You know,
that's,
I believe in trying to be a good person.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's me.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know that I can subscribe to this box or that box, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I like a lot of the boxes.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like a lot of people in our generation, because, Will, you're in our age group,
yeah.
that we have felt this way because all the kids, I believe, that I grew up with in my church, we all have left. But, like, we all try to be good people and, like, we remember some of the things and the tenets of the faith that we grew up in.
Right.
But it's like we got our moral compass, but a lot of the rules that, like, the church set up are, like, through man.
That's the problem that I have. And right. I talk about this with my therapist. And that's a reason why, I mean, because, I mean, there is such a thing as Catholic guilt. It's like, that's how they get you to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's all the guilt. So it's like,
finish your food or you're going to hell.
Ay, ay, ay. So, yeah, it's just tough because I'm like, well, who decided that? Because I feel like Jesus might have something different to say about it, which is right. why I think I answered on, it was like an Ask Us Anything Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and somebody had asked if you could meet anyone, dead or alive, who would it be? I was like, I would meet Jesus, because I have some questions.
Right.
I have some questions. I'd be like, is this how you envisioned all this going? Because obviously, it has gone a little bit left and right, different, depending on which man,
mm-hmm.
sorry y'all,
mm-hmm.
was in charge at the time. Mm-hmm. So I have questions.
Girl, I'm gay and black. I'm right with you, honey. I got questions too.
Really, this, you know, yeah, you're right. To Jesus, I mean, in the end, this is a big game of telephone.
Yes, you know? It is.
The longest game of telephone that's ever been played yeah. in the history of mankind.
The history of mankind is the game of telephone that Jesus put into effect.
It went from Jesus all the way to, like, who's the big pastor now?
It's the Pope.
The Pope?
The Pope.
Well, for Catholics. But I'm from Atlanta, so I think about, like, the big black churches in Atlanta, like Creflo Dollar. Y'all probably know who that is.
No.
Oh, God. Sometimes I wish y'all were from Atlanta. What a great city that is. Just yeah. so many interesting characters. But that was, like, Joel Osteen, you know, that yeah. pastor.
Well, all
he's
these,
like that.
All of those, I feel like a lot of those leaders, because in the early times, there weren't that many religions, right? So there was, like, originally Judaism.
Right.
And, like, that was it. And then, of course, you have, like, the Middle Eastern religions or, like, the Asian religions. But when we talk about, like, Yahweh, God, it's, like, Judaism. And then you got Christianity from Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it was, like, Catholic. Mm. But then all the other ones split off because they didn't like all the rules that came along with Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And go figure, because there's a lot of damn rules.
There's a lot of rules.
That's because Martin Luther went up there to the church and put up the little tenets of what we won't believe in or what
yeah.
we do. I don't remember that. That's the only thing I remember from history class
but see,
in college.
That's the thing. There's all these different. And so it's like the telephone game not only is like split down. So if I'm saying like if the Catholic Church has gone all the way back from, you know, John or not John, Peter, who founded the church, mm-hmm. all the way to the Pope now. It got all kinds of fucked up probably along the way. Not to mention all the different variations of the craziness. So I'm just like, who can I just talk to the man, please?
Just be a good person. That's what it comes down to.
I just like to talk to Jesus.
Will, do you hate us or do you love us as our boss? I had to just have to ask you that real quick.
That's a good question. It's valid.
Yeah, it's the podcast.
Are we talking about? Okay.
No.
Oh, we're not done?
No, we're going to go back to it. I figured we're here, we're safe, and I just like to ask the hard questions.
Why would I hate you?
I don't know. I like
even
to
if
ask,
I did hate you, why would I go on record saying that I hate you?
Listen,
that's
I like,
the worst way to do
I
something. I see why you had dates fail.
I like what? I liked it. Well, yeah, I pretty much was like that too when I was single.
Yeah,
okay, what do you love and what do you hate or dislike about the morning show?
I think you should pose it as what do you really like and what would you have us do differently?
You change? Yeah.
I know, Mr. Extreme over here.
I like extremes. That sounds.
I think it's fair to say some of the things that I like that you're doing on the show, you're doing more of than you were 6 months ago. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Tampa Bay wants to hear more about what's going on in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that you were doing as much of that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So we put you on in the 9 o'clock hour. Hey!
You expanded us.
Yeah.
True that.
What would I like that you do differently? Stay on time.
Yeah. isn't that always
I mean,
way?
Isn't that every morning? Like, is there any morning show? So if you're listening, like, you wouldn't know, but there is a clock that we're supposed to adhere to
yep.
where you're supposed to hit things at a certain time. But because of the nature of it's three human beings chatting.
And I get that.
And then there are songs that aren't exactly 3 minutes or 4 minutes. And so just the matter of just life. It's right. not always on time. But has there ever been a morning show that is like exactly on time?
That's really good at staying on time?
Well, syndicated shows, like shows that are on multiple markets because they have hard,
well, they just
hard time
off.
Blocks that they have to hit.
Right. Okay.
So.
But they can edit those, right? Don't they?
No, no, no. If you're like a morning show that's on, you know, hundreds of radio stations across the country, you have hard breaks that you have to hit for network time.
Oh, network time. I got you.
And talk shows, too. Like, take, you know, well, since Rush Limbaugh's been in the news, you know, Rush Limbaugh, his breaks are hard time. Now, it's a little different for him, though, because he doesn't have music.
Right.
But still, if he's in a heartfelt conversation and it's, you know, his hard break is at 50, he's got to go or he'll get cut off on other radio stations.
Right.
I do remember that when I, in my early career, when I had to, I worked for a conservative news talk morning show and station when I lived in Savannah, which, by the way, when I was in Savannah last weekend, I got to listen to. And the same, Holly, the same guy that I used to work with, Bill Edwards,
yes.
he's still hosting Savannah's News Now on WTKS 1290.
Wow.
And I, literally, same cadence. Same, good morning, Savannah.
Good
it's
morning.
Bill Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
Rip the knobs off. And
oh,
I was like,
oh,
he's
gosh.
Been doing that for literally 30 years.
Holy
but it
God.
Was so great to hear him. But I remember the 6 months that I worked for him. I was like, I cannot do this. This is too much for me. But I remember those hard timeouts that like they had like the Fox News at the top of the hour
yeah.
and at the bottom of the hour. And like we had to be out at that time. So, OK, that makes sense.
So since you've put me on the spot as your boss now, as opposed to just having a casual conversation about religion at the end of times, let this be a growth moment because you guys have all expressed to me and the powers that be at this company that you down the road want to look into syndication, right?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Make sure that blown off happens at 40 and your commercial break happens at 45.
Mm-hmm.
We are working towards you building that that discipline.
Mm.
So when you are in a position where you have a hard break at 45, mm-hmm. meaning we have to stop and play commercials at 45,
mm-hmm.
we're using lingo here.
Right.
You are better prepared for that future.
Okay.
I'm trying to help you grow for the future.
I love it. You know who else used to say that?
Who?
Angela Parilli.
True, our consultant and life coach.
Mm-hmm.
She used to sit, especially in Panama City the second time around when I was just real bad at keeping time and
it
just be like,
so
ooh, we in the, because ratings were great and the advertisers were happy. And I was like, talk. And they would let us. And then she'd be like, listen, if y'all ever want to grow and to make more money and go to a bigger market, you got to learn to be on time. I'm not saying that you need to shut up. I'm just saying that you got to learn how to manage the clock better in order to grow.
There is one thing we cannot change, and maybe Jesus can help us with this down the road, but we cannot put more than 60 minutes in a clock. It just doesn't happen.
No, he said no, by the way.
Oh, you asked him already?
Yeah.
I mean, can we just put like 10 more minutes for like the responses to blown off or something?
But,
like, that'd be great.
You guys will get there. And actually, this brings to an interesting topic since we're on the podcast and people actually respond with their feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Do they like this behind the scenes talk?
Because
we couldn't really get this deep about break times and, you know, why we have to stop at 40 and do this or that and how this can help your future.
Right.
I'm curious to see if people like this behind the scenes talk.
Yeah, so get back to us.
Yeah, I think so. You can always slide up in one of our DMs at Miguel Fuller, Radio Holly, Scott Tavlin. And do you want to say what yours
is? Sure, I mean, half of your audience wants to kill me anyway.
That's true. Girl, Laura Top Life. She is ready to come after you.
You can follow me and ask me all the behind-the-scenes questions that you want at DJ Will Calder
so,
on all the handles.
By the way, if you ever hear a change you don't like on the show, you can always hit him up. Or if ever we're not here one morning.
Never here one day.
Hold on a second. Aside from a situation we had to deal with because it was bigger than anybody in this room, you know, when have we ever did change on the show without all of us sitting down and talking about it? So if there's change on this show that you don't like, it's, well, all of us are at fault because we've sat down and talked about it and agreed to make that change.
Yeah. Right.
So don't put that shit on me.
No, he said, screw you. No.
No, but it's an easy scapegoat. I mean, you gotta go. I mean, but you will admit too, because I mean, I think one of the great things I like about working with you, Will, is that this is like your first time in your career that like you've been empowered to make the big decisions. Like before, in previous places you've worked, like it was sort of like a test out period for you. Is that what that?
Well, it was right? Yeah. So my last gig, and you know, this is a podcast. I don't mind. I was in Miami at Power 96, working for CBS Radio, different company, and I was doing all the day to day work. I was the guy, but I still had to have the sign-off sheet,
right?
You know?
Right, right.
And ultimately, any changes that I made would still come back through that person above me.
Mm, gotcha.
Even though I had the same role that I'm doing now, I didn't have the title. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Do you miss being on this side of it now that you have gone a step up in your career and you are the person making the decisions?
So to give you some historical context, I've been on the air doing what Miguel and Holly and Scotty do for the better part of my career for 20 years.
Yeah.
Going back to when I got my start at a little dance station in Chicago called Energy 9275. Dance hits for Chicago in Northern Illinois. Long gone. Hey, we broke records like Kylie Minogue and Daniel Bedingfield.
Oh,
like,
my God, I love Daniel Bedingfield.
Those
were
good records. That was a good era. But anyway.
That's my jam.
I'm also the director of branding and programming for our sister station, Power 95.3 in Orlando. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you live between the both markets, there's lots of similarities between the radio stations. And that's by design. I was doing the midday show there before they asked me to take over Tampa. So I couldn't run both radio stations and be on the air. So this, for I guess the 6 months, I've been off the air for the first time in my career. Mm. So I do miss it.
Right.
But knowing what's on my plate and dealing with two staffs and all of the fun trials and drama that comes with that.
Yeah.
You know, because I have you guys here, but I also have SD and DJ Nails and Danny B and Kevin Kahn in Orlando. And actually, Danny B and Kevin Kahn were also on this station at one point, too.
They were.
So, you know, all of the things that I have to deal with you guys, I also have to deal with in my Orlando station.
Mm.
So
it's
there's no way that I could do a on-air show that I feel proud of, you know, because listen, radio's changing. We all know that. And we don't want to be like some of our competitors out there that have just turned it into basically, you know, artificial intelligence radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like I struggled with coming off the air, but I knew it was the right thing to do because I could empower someone else to take over that shift that I was doing to bring it a better show than I could do on my own, juggling all of these, you know, pieces of the puzzle that I now have on my plate.
Wow.
So I do miss it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice when you guys let me come in here and, you know, yell at you on the air.
Yeah. And you love that, don't you?
You know, listen. I mean, I don't love your you know, the Miguel and Holly fam, like, threatening me on social media.
Yeah, that's scary.
Especially when we had that bigger problem with Scotty here.
Yes.
I think one of your people knew that I was in Orlando that day and was ready to hunt me down.
Oh, so. My God.
Don't you come back to Tampa until you unsuspend him.
Oh, let's just put this out. Let's not, you know, threaten our boss.
Yeah.
We're all friends here.
That's right.
Fine. Like, I've known Miguel, like, before I was his boss.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, so yeah. Yeah.
We have lots of mutual friends in our circles. So, it's you know, we know when to, we know when it's business.
Yes.
I guess that's what I'm
trying
to say.
Well, and I think, too, for our industry, it's good and it's bad that we're friends and then we're co-workers and bosses and employees. But we also enjoy each other outside of here. And so I feel like if you're listening to the show and sometimes things happen, we know how to, like, turn that on and off. And it becomes, you know, co-workers and boss and employee as opposed to just, like, we're all hanging out and, you know, and being friends and whatnot.
Right.
And when you're younger, like when Holly and I were coming up, sometimes those lines would get blurred with some of the people that we used to work with in the past, and that it would just turn into awkward situations.
Man, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Oh, my
God. Well, it's hard when you're young and you don't really have any other experience in the real world.
Are you listening, Scott?
I'm listening.
It's tough to find those lines and understand when they happen or whatever the case may be. Because you, like, for me too, and I'm for you, Miguel, you're coming out of college, and college is a very different atmosphere than the working world.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So, in fact, I remember saying, because at my college, nobody had class on Wednesday mornings because I went to a Methodist school and they had chapel on Wednesday mornings. I didn't go to chapel. Mm-hmm. So on Tuesdays, it was party night. So you would go party on Tuesday and then sleep it off on Wednesday. So we didn't really do much. When I get to work, it was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you have to work. And I was like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
It would have been better almost to go from high school, which was more regimented and your schedule is set and you've got this at this time. And in college, it's like a damn free for all.
Yeah.
By the time I got to the working world, I was like, this sucks, man. Why are we working all these days? And then it would snow really bad in Ohio, and I asked our production director the first time that it snowed. I was like, do we come in tomorrow if it's snowing?
Yeah,
and
we do.
who do you think tells people not to come to their work because it's snowing? Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, this is a bummer. I was so pissed. But then I was like, okay, now then you learn what it's like. And it just takes time.
It does. It is a learning process. And I feel like when I got through my first full year after college of working, and then like I hit summer, is
and then
when
you
it
don't have a break.
Right. And it was like, oh, so like when do we get to like have fun or do it? No, you got to work. You got work.
This is a really tough dose of reality.
It is. This is why, Holly, like, we've given speeches before at colleges, and, like, we play, like, good cop, bad cop, where Holly's like, after college, it's great. Here are the things you need to do. And then I'm always like, it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, just brace yourself
and
for
like,
a year of sucking.
Nobody wants to hear that.
But that's reality.
My experience was different because I didn't have the traditional college experience. You know, what ultimately propelled me into radio was the fact that as a kid, I was always a DJ. Mm. Like, my first DJ gig was spinning for a middle school social for $5.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But, and then that turned into, like, high school gigs, and then that turned into weddings, and then eventually that turned into nightclubs. Mm-hmm. So when I was in the better part of my 20s, I was spinning, you know, 5, 6, 7 nights a week around clubs, you know, Chicago, Milwaukee, around that Midwest area. So, college was very secondary for me. Mm. And then when I was making a lot of money working in the nightclub scene, but I was living that life where I was, you know, I'd sleep till 4 in the afternoon, get up, do what I needed to do, and then work nightclubs from 9 p.m. till 3 in the morning.
Well, it could be very lucrative, that whole thing.
It was. But it became empty. And I didn't go right into college after graduating high school because, A, I was a party kid. I knew I couldn't do it. And B, I was making money in the nightclub scene. I was fine. I had my little BMW as a, you know, 19-year-old kid. Mm. So, but I knew that I needed to do something different. And my mom actually enrolled me into the radio broadcasting class. She's like, I'm sick of you waking up at 3 in the afternoon. You're going to school. And
makes
so
sense.
I went and, you know, my first day of class, I met someone who was interning at my favorite radio station. And she was talking about, oh, I work at 92.7. I'm like, oh, come here. You're going to be my friend. You work at 92.7.
Yes.
We're
and then
friends.
I got the internship, and then I was one of those people that end up, you know, maybe I was doing a good job, and kind of like Scotty here, I was just thrown into it.
Yeah. Mm.
And then school got in the way, actually, to be honest with you. So I was at the right place at the right time, ended up getting a full-time gig. I mean, after 2 or 3 years of doing overnights in Chicago where I had to go pay $50 a night to park my car to go do that overnight shift for, you know, $9 an hour. So I, you know, I understand what you're going through, Scotty. I really do. Mm-hmm. I still owe you money, don't I?
Huh. Interesting. Oh,
we'll talk about that at another time.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
The mustache thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you haven't paid him?
Why are you looking at me like that? But anyway.
Wait, hold on.
I feel
on.
Like I derailed that.
Wait, no. It's actually so funny that you say that.
Oh.
What happened?
Have you looked around your office at all recently?
Yeah, I'm in there every day. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Haven't noticed anything off?
No. Should I?
Just a little something.
All right.
Something
so
that's
when
not
we get
supposed
done with
to be there, maybe that isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
What did you put in there?
I'm not saying nothing. Not, Turn it around.
No.
So anyway, yeah, I didn't have the traditional college experience and was just thrown into the workforce.
Right.
But I will say, you know, since let's finish this topic, you know, I'm torn sometimes when it comes to speaking at colleges about radio and television and the movie industry and just the entertainment industry, because I feel like people can technically be taught how to do the tasks that we do, but you cannot be taught the passion and the drive for it.
No. Right.
You either have it or you don't in this business, whether you're going to be an actor, a writer, a singer, an on-air personality. You know, I remember being in college and radio broadcasting, maybe you guys had this experience as well, but radio broadcasting was like, well, that's where the kids who got nothing else going on will go to, and they get in there and they realize how much work we have to do in radio or television, and they go, oh, shit, this ain't for me. I'm out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's way more work than you think it is.
Yeah.
Way more. And honestly, I think we've all had experiences with college getting in the way of offers or opportunities or jobs, because I remember my very first internship wasn't supposed to be an internship. I was a sophomore, and I got a call from the program director at this massive heritage rock station in Toledo. And now that I think about it, he was like, our midday slot's open. And I was like, oh, I'm like, on summer break from my four-year institution, and my mom's like, you're not going to some rock station. Finish your degree. So I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I can't just, I have to finish this. And they're like, okay, well, why don't you intern first? So that was my first radio internship. But it was like I could have obviously just stepped into this rock station midday slot. But my mom was like, not having any part of that. She's like, hell no.
Wow.
Because she hadn't gone to college. And she just was of the impression that you need to go to college. That was like our, you know, our parentals saying that's what you have to do next.
My parents as well. I will say, too, looking back on my career. And listen, if you're in school, stay in school.
Yes,
do what you got to do.
Yes.
Everyone's career path is a little different. Mm-hmm. But I knew that if I would have stayed in school, my path would have gone differently. Mm. And one of the things that I'm proud of in my career is the fact that I did end up working in New York City in market number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I worked for a little station against the legendary Z100, which, you know, anyone who knows anything about pop radio, when you think of pop radio, there's nothing bigger than the legendary Z100 in New York City.
Oh, you've heard of Elvis Duran before. Even if you've never lived in New York, you've heard of it before.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I couldn't get the job at Z100 because I just didn't have the experience. But at the time, CBS had put a competitor on called 92.3 Now. Mm-hmm. And actually, I worked with Buster, who used to be at FLZ across the street here in Tampa. So that's how I got to know him.
Yeah.
And actually, the other guy that's there now, I used to work with him as well. Mm. He was called Guy on the Couch back then.
Oh.
I'm not going to say his real name because he's our competitor now. Buster's not our competitor anymore.
Styles.
So. Yes.
But, Styles. Yeah. Nick Wise. Shout out Nick Wise. We're all friends here.
We all have roots with him too. Yeah. I mean,
But the point is, ultimately, I know that if I wouldn't have finished school, I would not have ended up in New York.
Mm.
Because just like you said, some of those gigs, it's that moment, right place, right time. And if you say no, you're not going.
You're done.
That's true.
So.
Well, and I feel like you just know. Well, like you will fight over the decision because, like, I never had any offers to work anywhere. Nobody. Like, I literally had to prove myself each way, which I'm glad I did because it made me work harder. But, like, my radio career has, like, never just been easy. I mean, Holly, you've watched it happen where it's, like, I've been lucky where, like, the people that gave me a chance, they were kind of like, I don't know, but, like, we'll just see because we ain't got nobody else. And so then, like, because, listen, when you first listen to me hosting a show, it sounds unlike anything else you've ever heard on the radio. Like, I don't say the stuff half right. Like, I push buttons all crazy. So I get it.
And you don't hide who you are. Remember, for the better part of Elvis Duran's career, he was not out. He was closeted.
Right. And I'm just
like, you live your life.
Yeah, I'm like, this is where I am. And so for a lot of people in our industry that's, you know, as much as we're supposed to be, like, on top of pop culture and this, it's very traditional in a lot of ways. Yeah. And so I had to prove myself. But I remember there was a time when I was at my two-year school, and I was just having so much trouble with, like, math class, like, college algebra and biology.
Because,
those things just did not compute in my head.
Same. I was the same way.
And I remember, when I first got to college and, like, going through, like, English 1101 and through, like, political science, and I was like, oh, my God, like, I'm kind of smart. Like, I thought I wasn't that bright. And then when I got to, like, the science and the math part, that's when it was just, I remember, like, reading and going to study groups and doing everything, and it just didn't click. And I almost, and I totally forgot about this until you mentioned broadcasting school. I totally forgot that there was about a month period where I was flirting with leaving my two-year school and going to the, is it not DeVry? Oh, no, it's like the Art Institute of Miami or something like that.
Where they had like a
radio broadcasting class. And like this memory just came flooding back, and I hadn't thought about this in years. And I remember, like, I was in talks with, like, the financial aid office over there and the admissions office and just trying to figure out. And I think what stopped me was when they were like, none of your credits will transfer over.
Oh, hell no.
And I was in my second year, and I was like, girl, I don't struggle way too hard for those, like, fucking 16 credits I got.
Yeah.
I'm gonna finish this bullshit right here. But I remember just being like, but then for me, that was my own personal, like, if I didn't finish college, I would have always felt not good enough because I was bused up to, you know, this rich white high school, and I was in special ed my entire life, and I had to prove to myself that I could do it because they told me in high school, they literally looked at my mother and I and said, he's not smart enough to go to a regular four-year school. And I was like, fucking bitch, watch me. Mm-hmm. Watch me. And so for me, I had to. That had to be. And so then once I graduated, then I was like, all right, I can do anything.
Yeah.
I can do that.
And you take the path that you need to. Like,
absolutely.
For you, you needed to do that. Well, for you, you didn't. You chose the right path for you, which and then it puts you in New York. And I sometimes have looked back and I was like, should I have dropped out of college and gone to that midday slot at IOT? But the answer is a resounding no, because I was way too naive and innocent and just too green to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I was working on a college radio station. I didn't know how to do radio yet. I had only been doing radio for a year, and I would not have had what it takes to stay in Toledo on IOT, and it would have damaged me, I think.
Absolutely.
I was too naive, and so it wouldn't have been good for my career.
You got to know when it's time to finally, like, fly from the coop.
Right.
Well, as a boss, as your boss, I can say this. If you guys didn't take the career paths that you did and your life tapestry followed a different path, we wouldn't all be sitting here having this conversation right now.
True.
True that. Mm.
Yeah.
Hear that, Scott?
I hear it.
I love shit like that. That's so crazy. Mm-hmm.
Are you processing all of this right now?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I agree with all of it. I think it's, you know, I was one of those that, like, as soon as I stepped in the studio, I was like, this is what I want to do. Then I realized very quickly that I was like, the things I was learning in the classroom didn't really go with what I was doing in the studio and my passion. But, you know, I definitely struggled with, like, do I leave? Do I stay? But I just decided, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to hustle. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to come to the station in the morning, do everything I can, probably skip class in the morning, whatever. But I'll make up for it. I'm just at least going to graduate. And that's why it's a hard question when people reach out to me of, like, what do you do when this class got stressful? It's like, you have to, you know, figure it out, you know, for your own passion's sake. For me, I knew that I just needed to get by with the grades that I thought were acceptable at that moment. I had bigger plans on what I could do in the studio than, like, all right, do I miss time in the studio and get an A in this class that I'm not going to think about in a month? No, but I could pass and I'll get my degree at the end of it, but I want to spend more time working on my craft, because I never got the charge that I did in class that I did when I went into the studio, because that was just, it was a feeling of just everything made sense in that moment, and it happened at school, so I'm thankful I went to school and discovered it, and so those opportunities all led me here. But I also, you know, knew where my passion lied after that moment of, like, all right, now I got to prove myself I can hustle and do both. And that's going to help me in the future when I'm able to actually do all these things that I want to do.
And actually, you bring up a good point that I relate to, too. And, you know, we covered everything in this podcast. I'm going to go a little political now. Because we covered religion. Now let's go politics. All the stuff we really can't do on the air.
Right.
The most controversial.
Bless the podcast. But, you know, to your point about, you felt like you were doing more in a real-life studio situation than you were doing in class. I remember, you know, and I went to some, you know, some reputable broadcast schools and audio engineering schools, and I remember in my first class, it was like a Pro Tools class, and I also do audio production. Pro Tools is a computer program they use to design audio, put voices, and we make commercials in Pro Tools and Adobe Audition, same thing. But I remember sitting in, like, these first couple of weeks of these classes going, file, open, new session.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a button to turn the microphone on. I'm going, I've been doing this for 20 years. So you're almost a little disheartened, because, like, this, I'm so ahead of this. Why am I wasting my time and my money to learn how to turn a microphone on? But I get it.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that same self-taught experience that I did. So I was a little, again, 22 years old, going, why the fuck am I wasting my time? Where I'd rather just go out and make, you know, $600 spinning at the club tonight.
Right.
You know? So that was, in my path, was another reason why I just said, I can't do this, because the schools I went to were just not, this is where I was going with that, were not accurate reflections of what's really happening in the industries. I think we see that a lot, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons why I love the Savannah College of Art and Design, where I went this past weekend and spoke, and not for radio, like, they have a radio station, an online radio station, but they don't have a radio class, but all the other things that they do there, I mean, like, one of the professors that I chatted with, he teaches screenwriting, and this isn't someone who, like, studied film and then, like, maybe was a production assistant. Yeah. Like, he has written films that you can see on Netflix.
That's cool.
He still does it now. Like, he was talking about how Netflix uses these algorithms that they're trying to, like, figure out if it's possible for a computer to write a movie script, and then they have humans, like, juice it up. I mean, so, like, he can talk about what's really happening in the industry. And so I feel like if you are interested in this industry or any entertainment industry, or that's, for the matter, any industry, go to a place where people who are still working in it are teaching you.
Bingo.
And that's the importance right there.
I didn't even know to ask a question like that.
Right.
And I feel like so little people do. Right. I mean, I had no idea what to really look for. I didn't even know what I wanted to do when I was looking for a college,
right.
let alone yeah. to ask questions like that.
Right.
I was just like, I walked out of the car at Ohio Northern, and I was like, oh, it feels like home here, and that's where right. I picked it. I mean,
well, but I feel like now there's so many resources mm-hmm. where it's like, literally, if you want to be a radio, like, you can type in, how do I be a radio, or you can just slide up in our DMs.
Literally, though, that's the biggest step, and that's what I tell people all the time. It's like, just ask people around, like,
right.
figure out your own path, because there's no set path on what you have to do.
No.
So it's like, all right, let me just reach out and see. And that's, I mean, I've said it before. That's how I ended up in the show, because I was like, hey, Miguel, like, I know you do this. Here's my entire life. So I want to do this. What you do? What do I do? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there was no set plan, but it's like, okay, well, come check it out. And then from there, it was just one step at the other. And then it's just, you have to prove yourself if you really want to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to sound like a lot in the beginning, but you just take those little tiny steps and you start climbing the mountain one step at a time. You just got to ask, got to open your mouth. And I'm a big advocate. If you have dreams, if you have anything you want to do, put them out into the world, manifest them, say them to the people around you so somebody could pick up on it one day and be like, I know someone for you.
Yes.
Oh, I'm doing that also. And now you have a way into that door.
Will, we want to be syndicated. We're putting it out into the universe.
I want to be full-time, Will.
Hey, you know what? They're serving tacos.
Look at that. Just changing the subject real quick. Well, Will, thank you for hanging out with us on our podcast. We appreciate it. And now if anything ever happens to us and you don't hear us one day, you know who to contact or something.
He already done said.
Holly, what's all your social media again?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And also Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
And also, we got to give a shout out to Miss Holly. You had like a meme go viral.
I did.
Yesterday. What
I
was
did.
It?
The meme was, treat yourself like 275. Never stop working on yourself, even if it's inconvenient for everybody else.
Amen to that, honey.
Now, I was excited because it got
that.
A lot of shares.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Tampa Bay.
All right. Now we're looking for that viral TikTok video.
And I did one.
keep working on it.
I'm still figuring out myself.
Yeah, okay, no, that's fine.
Will, what's all your social media again?
DJ Will Calder on all of it.
All of it. All of it. You can find out where he's DJing at a club near you in Tampa Bay. Do you ever DJ in Tampa Bay?
No, I mean, the only gig I still have is down in South Florida. I mean, I like to keep it fun, so that's why I don't do it much anymore. And these kids, that's another topic. These kids in the clubs today are all getting like $50 for gigs. I ain't trying to do that shit anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's another topic. We should do another topic and bring the mixers in here to talk about the chaos in the nightclub scene these days.
Good Lord.
Like, when I was at my peak as a DJ, it's a totally different world today.
Wow.
But again, we didn't have Serato and all the technology and all the computers that we had back then. Back in the day, you had to bring a crate of records.
Yeah.
You had to carry that shit around.
Wicca.
That's another topic. But yeah, I don't really spin here anywhere.
Well, you can see where he's spinning in South Florida on his Instagram. Scott, what's your stuff?
At Scott Tavlin. And then on TikTok, Scotty the Body Hot 101.5.
You can find me, Miguel Fuller, on Instagram, Twitter. I'm still trying to create my first TikTok, so just bear with me.
At least I got one.
I know. I'm still on Snapchat, too, if you want to add me on there. Oh. And you can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101. Hey, yeah. College kids are still on there.
I know.
That's how
they
communicate.
Have it. People still reach out to me on it. It's like, there's too many.
I don't even remember how to use Snapchat. Whatever.
It's only used for inappropriate
yes.
content.
Yes.
Hey.
That's why it's still.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay, Miguel.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com. Download the free Hot 101.5 app, or if you have an iPhone, just make sure on the little podcast app, type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Rate and subscribe. Bye, y'all.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.